With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. He is Houdini.
Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan, and we are now focusing on the NFL draft, and that is going to be the main theme over the next several weeks as we approach the virtual draft, the fully virtual NFL draft, as Roger Goodell put it in his memo to teams on Monday, meaning that literally everyone is going to be drafting from their separate spaces, Dylan, which is going to make things very interesting when you have all of these team personnel. We're so used to seeing these shots on ESPN, NFL Network, of 53,000 people packed into a 400-square-foot room, jumping up and down, you know, notebooks everywhere, drinks, you know, all kinds of stuff. Yet, you know, every front office member is not going to be in the same room now. Everyone's going to be basically drafting from home, and that makes a very interesting setup and for some very interesting dynamics heading into this draft.
Hopefully some of these teams post, you know, like videos from their personal social media accounts, kind of profiling each of their processes. Cause I'm like, yeah, it's kind of the set system already in place for the normal draft. I feel like all these teams are kind of going to be doing things on the fly, making up their own ideas, how they're going to communicate. I don't know if they just constantly have a Zoom meeting going or what's really going to be the setup here, but it's definitely adds a different element that is, I mean, they can still get everything done just like, you know, we're working from home and we can still get a lot of the things we usually do done, but there are certain things that are different. And I'm sure some teams are going to adapt better than others and more easily, more fluidly. But overall, yeah, still happy the draft's happening, I guess. But at the same time, I would have not been upset if they had actually waited to delay this a little bit. I understand it's kind of they don't want to push back the calendar with the schedule overall. They're already going to have to cancel a lot of these camps in like May and June and stuff. But in terms of the overall schedule, getting this out of the way, otherwise you're just pushing back how long these team players, even if they're not really getting in the building, in a literal sense, getting them their names in the building, getting that communication going. I understand why they want to push through with this.
Yeah, Peter King in his normal weekly column that posts, he had pictures in there, which he had talked to different coaches, and they had put pictures in there. Frank Wright was one of the ones, Andy Reid, they both sent in pictures of themselves working from home, and so you could see their setups. You know, I think Frank Wright, he had like, I don't know, three or four computers going, he was watching film. Then Andy Reid was in his basement, just in a corner, like just looks like your normal, you know, typical basement of any house. And he's working in the corner over there. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting because it is. I mean, everyone's, you know, maybe for me, I guess I was reading this article trying to get some tips for all of us here to better organize ourselves. See if I can work like Andy Reid, who is the Super Bowl champion. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, you know, I mean, communication. We've always said communication is important, but my goodness, how important is communication now, especially heading into the NFL draft, where, as we know, there are so many different elements to go into it. It's not just a matter of talking with your, you know, front office members and making a pick. It's also talking to other teams, and that's what we're going to get into here as we look ahead, what the most exciting elements are heading into this draft. We just talked about, I think, the virtual part of it makes it exciting in and of itself to see how everything's going to play out, to see some of the reactions, you know, from the picks and everything. And, you know, Dylan, I think it all starts when you mentioned excitement. I think it all starts with the trades, because that's all we've talked about. Who are the potential teams that are going to move up to draft maybe one of these quarterbacks that we mentioned, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa? Could we see those trades? And I think for me, that is probably the most intriguing part of this draft here, just seeing how maybe the top five, top seven, something like that shake out.
Yeah, in terms of trades and where the quarterbacks all fall, obviously there's a lot of other great skill position players we're going to talk about, but where are these QBs end up? As much as, I mean, the trades are going to be really exciting in the moment, but also just imagining all the different, you know, possibilities where this QB is on this team and that one and that team. So how it all shakes out, it seems like everyone's saying the number three pick is most likely going to be dealt by the Lions back for someone trading to get Tua. Possibly we've seen some reports saying the teams like Herbert more. I know we talked a bit before this about some of the mock drafts out there, and Todd McShay had Jordan Love going ahead of Herbert. So it's kind of all over the place right now. It's really hard to predict trades, but that's the one thing I'm, you know, we had our whole podcast kind of last time talking just about the Bengals possibly trading back from one, if it's really even realistic and why it could make sense. I think that prospect of that happening is still the most intriguing thing is, you know, if Cincinnati does decide to go all in on Joe, or if they really decide to get, you know, a ton of picks and see what they can do to build back their overall roster. That's the most intriguing thing to me, is where Burrow ends up. I still think it's going to be the Bengals. So then after that, it slides more into, you know, who trades up to three. Are the Dolphins really committed to Tua, or how much are they going for him? Or are they going to settle for another quarterback? Are they more interested in another quarterback anyway? So maybe they sit. There's just so many different things that, you know, right now it's, we have some rumors, but overall, the Dolphins on their front, other than them being interested in possibly training up for number one, there's not a whole lot. There's, you know, some rumors about them not being as in on Tua as other teams, but, yeah, we'll see about, the Chargers, obviously, I don't think, you know, as much as, you know, Tyrod Taylor's had some solid moments in his career, I don't think he's the long-term answer there. So whether they are going to trade up or whether they're going to wait until, you know, another year, we'll see what happens. But they're one team that I'm interested to see if they possibly trade up. The Jaguars, I don't, you know, we've seen some of these mocks have them taking a QB at number nine, whoever falls that far. I don't know about that. And then beyond that, I mean, a lot of teams are kind of set at QB. I know the Raiders are maybe one that could be a dark horse if John Gruden is feeling really ambitious and wants to move up. He probably can, but with some of the picks they have. But I don't know. It's just the trades are the biggest thing for me. I think the one that I'm pretty set on not expecting, though, at this point is number two. I think the Redskins are kind of – seems like they're settled in on Chase Young, and you could understand why.
Yeah, I think so. And we're going to have an announcement here coming up at the end of the episode about how we could have our own fun with the NFL draft over the next couple weeks. We've got something really fun planned for that. And so we'll see where some of these players land, as we said, not knowing what the trades could be. And my guess is we'll probably know who the number one pick is going to be, you know, before the draft even starts. That's usually how it works. Unfortunately, I like the suspense. I'd rather just, you know, no one tell anyone anything. Let's just wait till the draft starts and see where things happen there. But not how it works in this information age. But beyond that, as we look ahead to some of our favorite prospects entering this draft, and I think for me, that's where this adds another intriguing element, and that's with the wide receivers. We've talked about, you know, everyone mentioning that this is probably, you know, one of the deepest wide receiver classes we've seen. You look at some of the mock drafts that are out there and you can understand why. You know, there's so many good wide receivers and guys that, you know, that project well to the NFL. And as we say, you know, we never know how these guys are going to pan out. But there are a lot of guys that have the resources and the tools to be really, really good. And for me, That would probably start with one of the most exciting ones on my board. And yes, there's going to be an SEC flavor to some of my ones that we discussed here. As everyone knows, I am in SEC country. But Jerry Jeudy from Alabama, probably the consensus seems to be one of the top two wide receivers in this draft, along with CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma. Although others have Henry Ruggs from Alabama as well, maybe potentially going ahead of Jerry Jeudy. I don't know that I see that. But you look at Jeudy, Dylan, I mean, he's, you know, I've seen him all over the place in some of these mock drafts. Mm-hmm. I think the Raiders, the 49ers, teams like that, that would love to add a receiver of his caliber. You look at some of the comparisons for him. You know, just one of these guys that everyone seems to think is pretty much a lock based on, you know, all his tools that he has, and just someone that could probably play in some different areas for you. And I know some people have compared him, you know, to guys like A.J. Green and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Definitely going to be a fun prospect. And just, again, one of many wide receivers in this draft that we could see, you know, becoming a Pro Bowl type of player probably.
Yeah, we've already seen in free agency how this all these receivers kind of drove down the price of some of the free agent receivers. Just everyone knows there's so many top prospects here. And even in this draft, and you kind of looked at a lot of the mocks, same as I have. And usually with a guy like Jerry Jeudy, you'd see him definitely in the top 10, top like kind of six area. But because there's so much talent, it works. It's almost like the same phenomenon we see overall in the NFL with running backs, with the price tag for them not being as high as it used to be. And for receivers here, yeah, I mean, if a team's not going to really reach for one because they know they could always wait back and wait till their pick comes up or even trade back, and there's probably still going to be a great prospect there. I do think Jerry Jeudy, though, is beyond that. In a class that is this deep, I mean, in terms of just how exhilarating, and just watching him in college and seeing how that's, I really believe it's going to translate at the NFL level. I think he's in a, I'll be surprised if he's not the first receiver taken. And I do think he's the kind of guy that, looking at some of these mock drafts where he falls to 13 or outside the top 10, I don't know if I see that happening. I think some team's going to look at this and be like, look, this guy's just like, if we can get him, even if you don't have to trade up a little bit, 49ers are one at that number 13 spot where he's falling in this McShay, or I guess in the different one we were looking at here. But overall, I think there's some other teams in the top 10 or teams that could move up to the top 10. He's just on a different level. And wherever he ends up, I think they're immediately going to make an impact the same way we've seen some younger receivers in the last couple of years.
Yeah. And you know, someone, I was reading something on this and I can't remember exactly. I'm trying to remember what it was, but and I don't want to mention the name because if I get it wrong, I'm going to attribute it to the wrong person. But was mentioning how, you know, ultimately guys like Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, they could be taken lower than expected potentially, depending on the trades that are in that top part of the draft, because people know how deep this draft class is with wide receiver, and that, you know, people may not be willing to spend that high of a pick on a wide receiver. And so they're saying, well, we can get as good a value or close to that type of value, maybe if we take a guy, you know, in the early second round, something like that. So that could be interesting, that could just be, you know, people talking like that and trying to spread that out there so they can pick one of these guys near the top. We'll see. And, you know, you look at some of the other prospects, we'll go into more of them. And I know one of the ones you've mentioned, Isaiah Simmons from Clemson, clearly, you know, one of the best players in this draft. I think we know that he is going to be coveted by someone, and he's probably – you know, honestly, going to fall right there in that mix when we talk about how the trades could impact this draft. Like, he's going to be right there in the middle of all this, and that could ultimately, you know, decide on where he lands, depending on maybe who trades up to take one of these top five type of picks. I think a lot of the mocks have him going to the Giants, which would make sense. But, again, that could be a trade spot too, and I think he's someone, because he's not one of these two quarterbacks, you know, his placement could range, you know, different places, because, you know, we don't know exactly who could trade up into one of those top five or seven spots, and that could, you know, alter where he's picked.
Yeah, we've seen that in the past, some of these higher kind of concentrated QB drafts. I think of even like 2018, where, you know, teams are moving up, and for, you know, Darnold, the Jets made the deal, they move up to number three, the Colts fall back, get picks, and they also pick up Quentin Nelson. You saw Roquan Smith of the Bears go number eight that year. You know, these guys just falling because, like you're saying, at the end of the day, outside of, like, we're talking about receiver and the value of some of the top guys being suppressed by just how deep the class is. On the quarterback's like the one position where that's just not going to be the case. Like no matter what, even if it's there's a ton of really highly touted quarterbacks or only a couple, teams are still going to prioritize that first and still going to trade up and overpay potentially with the picks they give up. So where Isaiah Simmons goes, I still think he's going to be a top, you know, 5-6 pick, but yeah, it could impact, you know, most mocks are having him fall to number 4 to the Giants. Obviously they can use as much defensive talent as possible, but so we'll see what happens there. You know, the Giants have other needs that they could be perfectly fine falling back, and you see more of these offensive tackles going kind of in that 8 to like 11, 12 range. So there's a lot of different things in play. Where he ends up, though, I'm sure, I mean, he's another player that I know we talked about before the podcast. Just every game you're watching Clemson, he's the guy you're glued to. There's not, you know, we're kind of in the fantasy football age and how we watch football. So often we're just following the ball or following the offensive and what's happening there. But he's the kind of guy on that level, at least at the college level. I still think he'll be a great NFL player, but he was a guy where you'd watch Clemson games and your eyes are glued to him. There's not a lot of college players like that. A lot of NFL players like that. I mean, Chase Young, I know I mentioned him a little earlier. He's kind of the same way, defensive end. So yeah, wherever Isaiah ends up, really intrigued to watch his career unfold. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. And no matter who picks him, we know one thing, and that's that Isaiah Simmons is going to get paid. And guess what? You can get paid too over at Bet Online. Currently, there's no NBA, no NHL, no MLB, but there is still stuff to bet on. So if you're one of the people out there thinking that there's nothing to bet on, as we've said for many episodes in a row, you would be wrong, because our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on. You can let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack. They're all open 24 hours a day because they're all online, including their $750,000 poker series. And if you're into props and entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the weather. All you have to do is visit their website and join today to receive a 100% welcome bonus. Yes, folks, 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, BLUEWIRE. Bet online, your online wagering experts. Dylan, some of the other players on my list here, a couple other SEC ones, and then we'll talk about another one here in a second. Javon Kinlaw, South Carolina, one of the better defensive linemen in this draft. I think he's got a great story. Can't remember who did the story on him here recently on ESPN, talking about him, you know, growing up homeless and ultimately now, you know, becoming one of the better players in the draft. And also, he's probably going to go in the top 15, I would think, you know, somewhere in there. Xavier McKinney from Alabama, another Alabama guy. I bring him up because we did an article on Clutch Points here recently, and I think it was from Peter King or maybe one of the other weekly articles. Again, this is where, you know, do so much reading, you're like, I can't remember where you read this stuff. But someone had it in there about one of the top NFL draft evaluators, you know, guys who evaluate talent, scout, and all this. Was comparing, you know, Xavier McKinney to an Earl Thomas type of player, which, hey, if you can get that, I think whoever takes him is going to be pretty happy. So a couple guys there on my list. Who are some of the others that you were looking forward to here in this draft?
Yeah, I'll touch really quick on those. I mean, McKinney is one that some of the early mocks that came out after the season, you won't find him in the first round. So he's a guy's stock, as you're talking about with scouting and all the things that happened, as we've seen where these mock drafts that happen right when the season ends or right after college football season ends, just changed dramatically. And he's a guy who's immediately hit into that top 18, top 20. Obviously, Javon Kinlaw, find him around 16 or all the way up to number 9. So someone's going to have a really good defensive tackle. And then obviously it's safety. If you can have anyone with an impact close to Earl Thomas, I mean, you'll see some evaluators talk about the safety position not really being like it used to be with the way the game's played now. But there's still some really great enforcers. We've seen someone like a Derwin James who, you know, ended up going pretty high in his draft, but did fall from the area. If you can have a guy with that kind of impact, it just immensely helps your defense. But just going through the rest of the draft, I mean, obviously Tua is a really easy one to talk about because I mean, followed him since early in his Alabama career, even when he was coming in late in games when they were blowing out teams and you're just watching him show off his arm talent as a freshman before, you know, finally coming in for that national title comeback. He's one that is really easy to, you know, obviously be excited about. I still think he's going to go really high. The concerns about his health seem to be just, a little bit overly cautious at this point. With what he's able to do when he's healthy on the field, I think he's going to end up having a great NFL career wherever he ends up. One, I know we talked a little bit before, that's intriguing to me is some of the offensive tackles in this draft, especially for a team like the Browns, who in pretty much every mock I can find from anyone reputable, they're taking an offensive tackle, whether it be another Alabama. Sure enough, we'll just keep talking about Alabama players. Jedrick Wills is one name that's been mentioned a lot. Tristan Wirfs from Iowa. So a few of those guys I'm really intrigued to see. Obviously, at receiver, beyond the few top ones, I watch, you know, for a conference that hasn't been that great, I watch a lot of Pac-12 football over here. Michael Pittman, I still think that you're talking about guys that could end up in that early second round range where you're still going to get a lot of value. I think he'll be an intriguing one to see where he ends up. I still think he has a lot to offer. And this draft is so deep that going deep into the second round, you know, just scrolling through some of the names on our prospect list from Pro Football Reference, you just see guys that, you know, aren't going to be mentioned in that first round. I know running back isn't a flashy thing. Maybe there's some guys like Dobbins that used to go higher that aren't going to, Jonathan Taylor, but I'm still excited to watch these guys. I know it's not the most flashy thing anymore to talk about running backs, but I still think some of these guys are going to provide value. And now that they're maybe valued more optimally in terms of what a running back can give, even though they're going to go in the second, third round, stuff like that, I still think once they're at the NFL level, they're going to provide a lot of help for those teams. I think the Rams might. I mean, they have a lot of needs, and they're, you know, I was looking kind of through some of their mocks with the 52nd pick, but they could take a running back. Obviously, right now it's Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown. I don't know if that's, unless Daryl Henderson really takes a huge jump. If they can snag a Jonathan Taylor that deep, I don't know if he'll fall that far, but that, I would be excited as a Rams fan, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's one thing I've gathered from the players we've talked about is pick an Alabama player out of the hat and probably going to be intrigued by where. Yes, Nick Saban, he's pretty good at what he does. Like I said, there are lots of different players, and I mean, I think it's just a matter of, you know, there's going to be a lot of different ones, like we said, that probably these trades are going to impact, especially at the top of the draft. And while my dogs are barking here in the background, they're clearly excited for the draft. We look ahead too at some of these, and we mentioned quarterback, and I think the one quarterback that seemingly has gotten a lot more interesting is Jordan Love from Utah State, because he's one that you look around different mock drafts. You know, I'm looking at Mel Kiper's most recent one. He's got him going to the Patriots at number 23. Obviously, that would be very interesting because we know where things stand for the Patriots right now. And we know the Patriots are going to draft a quarterback. We just don't know where it's going to be in the draft. I mean, I think we understand that they're probably going to pick someone up with one of the picks that they have. And it's just a matter of how high is it? And would they go that route with Jordan Love? I mean, he's someone that is getting a lot of attention from Dublin because I think he fits into what we're seeing with some of these successful quarterbacks, you know, in the NFL now, like a mobile type of quarterback, who's probably going to be able to excel and in a spread type of situation where, you know, he can beat you through the air, he can beat you with his feet. And so I think that's going to make him intriguing. But like we're saying, knowing that, you know, there's probably going to be two quarterbacks specifically that are going to be taken in the top five, does someone else, you know, in that range, maybe, I don't know, like 14 to 20 something, like, do they decide to maybe take that chance on Jordan Love? I think he's one of the more interesting ones too here in the first round.
I might be a bit more biased about Justin Herbert being on the West Coast and all the Oregon games I watched, but beyond the top four QBs, so if we're talking about Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and then Love, it definitely for me drops off. I want Jalen Hurts to do well. I'm not positive how high of a prospect he obviously is regarded as, or how I would really evaluate him on the NFL. I hope he does well, but after those first few guys, it really drops off. So I think that does help Jordan Love's value here. I love the rumors and the language used in these kind of things. We had an article talking about the Chargers having a crush on Jordan Love. We were looking at McShay's draft and mock draft, and he had Jordan Love going above Herbert to the Chargers at number six. I know some other teams that have inquired about him are the Packers and Saints. I think for Jordan Love to go to a situation with a franchise like one of those, where they have such an established QB you can learn from, that might be the best situation for him rather than a place like the Chargers, even the Patriots. I mean, with what they've done, if they decide he's the guy they want, I think that would be a great fit. I still think he could succeed with the Chargers, but a guy that I don't know. I'm not as sold, but maybe I just need to actually sit down and watch a lot more Utah State football than I'm used to. I've seen, the certain highlight reels and stuff like that, but nothing to the point where I'm seeing anything that's like, all right, he's definitely going to be a great NFL quarterback. You know, if we look back at so many of these past, past decades of drafts, and there's so many names of guys that go in this top 15 range that are just forgotten about. I hope he doesn't end up like that, but you can see a team, like I'm saying, where it falls off after those first few quarterbacks. You can see a team reaching for them. I just don't, after Tua and Burrow, whether you like Herbert or Love more, I guess I'm not completely sold. Maybe it's just so many teams are snake bit by these kind of picks in past years. I just don't know for sure.
I think Mel Kiper brings up one of the reasons why. I think it's, you compare his 2018 stats to 2019 stats at Utah State. 2019, he threw 20 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. You go back to 2018, he had 32 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. So a big difference there. And, I think that's one of the things that the teams will probably look at. And I don't know, I'm with you. I don't know exactly where he could fall. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see someone in these 20 range draft him. I also wouldn't be surprised to see him fall into the early second round type of range, somewhere in there. If we don't see that run on quarterbacks, after those teams at the top, pick up some of those guys like Burrow and Tua and Herbert. So I don't know. I mean, I think you throw him in there. You mentioned Jalen Hurts. I mean, I think Jacob Eason probably going to be someone. Jake Fromm from Georgia, or two former Georgia quarterbacks, I guess, since Eason transferred to Washington. But, so, I mean, there are lots of different ones. And quarterback spot, always the most intriguing heading into the draft, and I don't think that it'll be any different. Even in a draft like this where wide receivers are being talked about a lot, it's still those quarterbacks that are going to drive a lot of the interest in terms of how this draft could unfold. But Dylan, speaking of drafts, that brings us to our big announcement, because we're looking ahead. We're thinking, what can we do that could be a lot of fun heading into the draft? And it works out perfectly because we have decided to do our own NFL mock draft, and we're going to do it in a very fun and entertaining way. Over the next 4 episodes of this podcast, yes, 4 episodes, we're going to stretch this thing out. We want to give you as much information as we can, and we're going to have fun with this, like we said. We're going to look on each episode. We're going to do a mock draft of 8 picks on each one. So here's how we're going to do it. Dylan and I are going to alternate picks. So it's basically going to be a fantasy football draft. We're just picking NFL players in the first round of this year's draft. So let's just look at it that way. So although we're not having to, assemble a team in specific positions. We're going to alternate picks, and we're going to make the picks for every single team in the first round of this draft. And Dylan, I know we're going to do a coin toss to decide who gets the first pick, but I think this is going to be great because we're going to have to think on our feet. We're going to have to put ourselves in these draft rooms, which I guess it's perfect, right? It's a virtual draft. We're doing this just like everyone else is. So we might as well be NFL GMs in this particular version of things. We're going to, make our picks, and then the other person has to, figure out who they're going to pick based on what if their pick was selected before. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun, and I think we'll have some exciting picks with this one, and there will be some frustrations as well when one of us sees our projected pick fly off the board the pick before.
Yeah, no, I mean, at least we'll be able to do sub planning in terms of once we have the orders picked, we'll know which teams we're going to really be targeting. We can look into what they need, and that might help us have a little bit of a contingency plan. Say you take someone that I'm thinking to pick, but definitely excited for this. It's going to be a lot of fun in terms of us, talking through what we're thinking from that team's point of view as we make the picks, as we adjust. Obviously, teams aren't going to be as open about if they're pissed off that one guy who got taken right before them. But we can do that here on this podcast. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we will we'll figure it out. We'll give you guys once we start the next episode. That'll be our next episode. You'll know who gets the first pick, and we will start running through the first eight picks in the NFL draft, and we will alternate our selections. But it'll be a lot of fun. We obviously won't account for trades because we're not wearing the GM hats to that point. But we will go through the order as it stands right now and make a pick for each team. But Dylan, speaking of the NFL draft, lots of great stuff going on over Clutch Points. Thoughts on the draft, other stuff as well here in free agency. Let everybody know where they can find all that.
You can find all of our draft content, all NFL rumors, editorials going over, looking at what teams need on ClutchPoints.com under the NFL section. You can search for teams, for players, for if you just search NFL draft, all of our draft articles will be sorted there. Same thing with our Clutch Points app. No games again, obviously. Hasn't been, it feels a lot longer than it has been without any sports, but yep. You can still go there and read all of our written content. Our podcast is there as well as everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Appreciate all the listeners. And yeah, I'm really excited to dive deeper into thinking about what these teams really need to do with these picks beyond just, right now more so it's been, we're looking at the guys we're most excited for at the NFL level, but yeah, when it's coming up, it really, honestly, I didn't realize just with everything happening that the draft was only a few weeks away. I was like, wow, for some reason it just the idea of any sports big kind of sports things happening at this point just doesn't really pop into my head. So many other things in my mind, but yeah, excited that it's not too far off, and just will accelerate the timeline and getting ready for me, I guess, at this point.
Yep, that's true. That's just, man, I know. It's been a weird and unique offseason in the NFL, but lots more fun stuff going on the way here with the NFL draft and all that. And I'm trying to think back. I think in this 29-minute stretch here, we haven't mentioned Tom Brady, so just wanted to make sure I said his name
before we...
And actually, I look at my Twitter right now, and you know what? It looks like Tom has actually, in the middle of this podcast... He has thanked the Patriots on Twitter. So
oh, that's nice.
There you go.
Very nice.
Very nice of him. He knew we needed the content.
The coin toss right now. I have.
Oh yes,
coin.
Let's do it. Coin toss. Right. Here we go.
So you want heads or tails? I'll give you. The call.
I'll take heads.
Okay. Here we go. It's up.
Honor system.
It is a tail. I swear I'm not lying.
Man. All right. Well, that makes my draft a little more interesting because I mean, I know you're gonna. Actually, it may be pretty good though. I know you're picking with number one, so I can already prepare for number two. So that's perfect.
There
so,
you go.
All right, there you go. So Dylan will have the number one pick, and he will have every other pick after that in our mock draft here on Established Pass. So be sure to subscribe. That way, you can catch all the stuff we have going on. Check out all the great stuff going on for Clutch Points, and thanks as always to the fine folks at Blue Wire and Bet Online for all that they do, and thanks as always for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time here on the Established Pass Podcast.